Come and see what everyone's talking about.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Do I have your attention? Well, today we're going to be talking about the money god. Yeah, the thing that people are chasing. They're chasing this day and night. The women selling their bodies, the men selling their souls. For what? For this paper. So sit tight. We're going to be having a discussion about the money guy on The Dean Show.
We'll be right back.
One can never be too cautious.
Hey!
Man, I'm really sorry. Can I get you another drink?
Hey!
What a player!
Man, you just got it all over my pants and my shoes, man.
Man, I'm real sorry, man. Let me get you another cup.
Man, I don't want another cup. You gotta watch where you're walking, man.
Man, I'm sorry. I don't want any problems. I'm gonna get out of here, okay? Where are you gonna go? Man, please get your hands off me.
What you gonna do about it?
I've had enough.
Ah! Let go, man. Let go, man. We're cool, dude, man. Let go of my arm, man. Yeah, I got you, man.
I've had enough in here.
One can never be too cautious.
Sheikh Yusuf Asbi.
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm going to have to switch hands.
I don't need hands. I want the money.
We're talking about the money god.
People, the what?
The money god. You know, people today are compromising everything. Everything they believe in, all the good. They're chasing the power, the money, the wealth. People are selling out, selling their souls for this dollar, for this paper. We want
to
talk.
So you're holding the money up to get everybody's attention.
Yes.
Did it work?
I don't know. I hope so. Let's talk about this, because people have turned this paper into a god. What do you think?
The paper that we have in front of us right here is actually not worth very much at all, because it's just paper with ink on it. It's not until another person is willing to accept it that it has any value. And according to economics, this is called currency, and it has a value only when other people are willing to accept it. And the value placed on it has got to be backed by something that people believe in. When the credibility is there, then it's worth more. When it loses credibility, then it goes down. And that's how it works. It's very simple. But actually, this currency is not the actual money. The actual money is stored somewhere. Whatever value or goods that you have is stored somewhere. Then you issue a paper like a check. And actually, that's all this is, a check or a note. And it says right on it, it's a Federal Reserve note. And so this is a note payable in lawful money at a Federal Reserve bank. That's usually what they used to say a long time ago. Lawful money, and according to the Constitution, would be silver and gold. They don't use that anymore. They tie it to the gross national product and consider that to be something of value. But anyway, you're absolutely right. The people have sold out to this so-called money, not even realizing that this isn't the money itself anyway. It just represents something that's somewhere else. Sad. If you think about this, in Islam, we have something that's much more valuable. It's much more tangible. Whereas instead of a dream, a pipe dream that's going to go down in value, when you have the belief, the right belief, it increases every day in the right way. Your faith is worth much more than a pocket full of money, because the money, you will have to spend it. In order for the money to benefit you, you have to spend it. Is that right?
Yes.
What is the benefit if you piled this up 5 feet tall but you don't ever spend it? Somebody told you, I'll give you $1 million but you can't spend it. Well, initially that sounds good, you know, $1 million, but you can't spend it. You can't use it for anything. In fact, you've got to haul it around, take care of it, guard it, hope that somebody doesn't break in and kill you to take it away from you. You're going, wait a minute, then what is the benefit of having it? In Islam, we have something called iman or faith. And our faith is based on something that is testable and proven and something easy to accept. And it is something that will have a cash value on the day of judgment.
Tell us, is it true that with enough of this, that someone can buy peace, security in life, and success?
This is absolutely the concept that most people have about money. If I just had enough. Yeah, and ministries are the same way. A lot of ministries are that. If we just had more money, we could do more things. We could help more people. We'd like to build an orphanage in the Philippines. We'd like to build a school for the children in India. We'd like to put in, a computer lab somewhere in Indonesia and help these people to get better education, to get, on their feet, to establish factories, to do, to help people. But it all takes do, re, mi, money. So we need money. So then they have these programs. You see them send your money in and do this and do that and so for donations . Or other people will just work real hard their whole life saving up their money with the idea, when I get enough money, I'm going to do some good deeds. I'm going to, get a degree, become an engineer, or get my degree in medicine, get my degree in education, and then I'm going to work hard. I'm going to maybe sell books. I'll do, I'll be famous. I'll go on the Oprah show, And then with all of that, I'll take this and I will do good deeds with it. This is a goal. But how many people ever achieve it? Not because instead it goes the opposite way. In order to do that, you want an education, so you've got to get a student loan. Well, that student loan is going to be at X percent interest and blah, blah, blah. By the time I get out of school, I owe so much that I'm going to have to take other loans to do these things so I can pay that loan. Then when I get my medical practice, for instance, or my law practice, and I get started, I've got so many things and I'm in debt so far, so I'll borrow more money and then I'm into bigger debt. I'm going to banks, I'm going to savings and loans, I'm going now to insurance companies and borrowing from them. And I've been through that myself. I know where it goes. And the more money you have, the more you want. Because your goals and your aspirations are greater. Your desires are greater. And your lusts are much greater. Because you're thinking, if I just had more, if I could just, And along the way, though, there's the country clubs that you want to be. Well, I got to be with the right people. I need to have the right kind of car. You don't show up at a country club in a Honda. I need to be there in my new Mercedes. I need to be there in a Rolls or something. Maybe I need a chauffeur. Hey, that'd look pretty good. I mean, I still got my goal here. I want to help the poor children here in Africa or something. But still at the same time, it'd be kind of nice to have all the guys over and we'll have a shrimp fest and play a round of golf and gosh, it would be nice. Let's charter a plane. We'll all fly down to, New Orleans. I remember one time we took everybody down to New Orleans. Another time, let's fly out to Vegas. Just, for the sun, not for the game. Well, slot machines, not, I said, what are you doing? And another time, we'll take all the kids to Disneyland. Well, that'd be great. Whose kids? My kids and my friend's kids. So I said, well, there's a benefit. Well, maybe. But really what happens, the more that you accumulate, the more you want. And the more you compromise and compromise and compromise. This is not in every case, but this is the majority of cases what happens. And instead of increasing in the wealth, you really increase in debt. The debt goes up, 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 up until you can't imagine what some people, when they go to bed at night, they're thinking, how will I ever pay all of this? And whenever you see a comma in your debt, that's one thing. But when you see two commas in the debt that you owe, this is another thing. When you owe more than $1 million, more than $10 million, more than $20 million, you owe that money. I didn't say you have it. I said you owe it. And maybe if you cashed out everything you've got, you could never pay it. And then what will you do? And what happens? These people who are living in these big houses, these big cars, these very big titles they have, and then they commit suicide, and you wonder why. Well, that's one of the reasons. Because no matter what they work for, they don't get what they want. No, not in all cases, just money. There's other things besides just the money. It's the things that go with the money. There's sleaze that goes along with that too. A woman who wants to get ahead, so she sees herself as, well, on my intelligence alone, nobody will appreciate that. On my, my talents alone, they won't appreciate. So she begin to compromise. Well, they say, raise that skirt up a little bit. We're going to put you in a movie or, take off clothes or show something or do something, and they start to compromise, thinking, I'll just do it this one time. And it always goes the wrong way. But this, according to the Christian religion, they say that the money is the root of all evil. Actually, the old expression was, the lust for the money is the root of all evil. Because the money itself is not evil. This is the same piece of paper that it was before they put the ink on it. Before there was any ink on that piece of paper, I don't think anybody would want to give very much for that, would you? With nothing on it, what's that? But once the ink is on it, and once these little seals and the watermarks and all the things, you see people looking at, and once that's there, then suddenly this is something that somebody would actually fight you for. And there, in fact, there are people who have lost their lives for less than a $20 bill. Just be walking down the street and in some city, maybe somebody kill them. They're a drug addict. They want drugs and kill a person just for $20.
$20 bill. Let's. I got to take a break. We'll be right back on The Dean Show.
We'll be right back.
One can never be too cautious.
Hey!
Man, I'm really sorry. Can I get you another drink?
Hey!
What a player!
Man, you just got it all over my pants and my shoes, man.
Man, I'm real sorry, man. Let me get you another cup.
Man, I don't want another cup. You gotta watch where you're walking, man.
Man, I'm sorry. I don't want any problems. I'm gonna get out of here, okay?
Where are you gonna go?
Man, please get your hands off me.
What you gonna do about it? You gonna do
I've
about
had
it?
Enough of your...
Ah! Let go, man. Let's go, man. We're cool, dude, man. Let go of my arm, man. Sorry, no. Yeah, I got you, man. Let's... Ah!
I've had enough of your...
Oh.
One can never be too cautious.
Hey, man, where'd you learn that?
I trained jiu-jitsu. You got time? I'll show you. Come on.
Remember, these techniques, it's only for life-threatening situations, self-defense, okay? Come on.
Come and see what everyone's talking about.
Okay, guys, let's look at the technique that we applied earlier. We call it a shoulder lock. It's going to be where the aggressor is going to place his arm onto my shoulder, okay? There's two variations of this self-defense technique. One is if, just like so, the guy grabs you by the shoulder, but you notice the elbow is bent or loose. The second variation is going to be where that he has my shoulder, but his arm is stiff. Okay, this is going to be another variation that we will not cover today. The one that we're going over is shoulder grab, bent arm. Okay, so how this is going to place his hand on my shoulder. Now, I'm going to use the same side that he's controlling. I'm going to use that arm to come up and above his elbow. I come up, and as soon as I get to this point now, I'm using his grip against him, okay? His grip, his wrist, is secured tightly under my armpit. I'm going to go palm to palm, and now, making sure that his wrist is secured under my armpit, I'm going to start to raise his elbow up, applying the pressure onto his shoulder, okay? Let's take a look at that one more time. Same side he's attacking comes up and over the shoulder. At this point, I have to really focus on making his grip tight under my armpit. If the grip is loose, he's just going to pull his arm out, okay? Which gets rid of the grip. That can be another way of just disengaging. But we're going to try and take advantage of the situation, okay? He comes up. Come under the elbow, I go palm to palm, I secure his grip, and now I start to elevate the elbow up. As I raise the elbow up, trapping his wrist, that's where he starts to feel the pressure on the ligaments of his shoulder, okay? And we saw one example of how to diffuse the situation with jiu-jitsu. The beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu is that You don't need to hurt, okay, punish the guy to defuse the situation. If I decided earlier to punch or to kick the aggressor, I'm not defusing the situation. I'm just increasing the chances of that becoming an extreme situation, a big headache, okay? One more time. Up, over, and now I have the option, maybe he's not in the best situation to now be an aggressor. I have him at my mercy at the moment. I can talk to him, I can defuse the situation. God forbid, if I need to really defend my life, there is the possibility of putting the pressure on the shoulder to do some real damage. But it should not come to that, okay? We can talk, defuse, and I feel that the situation is defused, can let it go, and situation's done without harming the aggressor. That's it for today's episode of the Self-Defense Workshop. Until next time, guys, be safe and take care.
Hey, welcome back to the Dean Show, and today we're talking about the money god. Can you, Sheikh Yusuf Esses, talk to us with your experience now. Tell us, how have people taken this as a god?
Well, in my own case, let's talk about that. Years and years ago, I had an idea when I was a young man that I wanted to work hard, make money, save it up, and then help people. And I don't think that's different from a lot. And all along, I was thinking I wanted to do things for the Lord at the same time. I wanted to establish a music industry, a music business, actually. It turned into an industry. And I thought that along the way that the music would help soothe the people's souls. I also felt that if I had enough money, that I could go out here and build places for children, for the homeless, for those who are destitute, and the runaways, and the children of the streets, and the people, the bag ladies, all the rest of it. All of that sounded good. But along the way, the money became the object. I need more of that money. I need just a little bit more. Oh, yeah, oh, that's nice. And then one day you get, that was nice too. And, oh, here's some, if I just had more and
the
just
green
have
keeps
more.
Kicking in.
Yeah, because you keep thinking, if I just had more. But it's not just the money that we have a problem with today, because this is well known. I mean, there are many stories throughout history about money and the things that how it corrupts. But today we have credit, which is corrupting people. It's not just this. What about the credit cards? Because all of a sudden people are spending what they don't have. You're not spending what you do have. It's not talking about gathering money together. You're talking about spending before you ever get it, not even knowing if you're going to get it. Suppose a man owes $50,000, $60,000. He loses his job. Then what? His wife has to take a second job. She's already working, got another job. They're going to lose their house. They're going to lose their cars. They're going to lose their position. They've even had movies, humorous movies about this. There's one, I think it was called Fun with Dick and Jane, mm-hmm. that came out, and it was exactly about that. That a well-off family, they lose their money, they lose their position. It was sort of a parody on the story of Enron. You remember Enron, the big corporation that folded up and all the people that lost? It was basically making fun of something like that. And although there were some unusual twists to the story, it really revealed a lot of the things that all of us are looking at today. When you go out here and work hard and try your best, and at the end of the day you say, I owe more than I did yesterday. Let me try harder tomorrow. And the harder I try, then tomorrow I wind up even more than I did before. So how is this different than 100 years ago? 100 years ago in this country, they had something that was almost like slave labor camps, where people worked in the coal mines, and they said they had sold their soul to the company store. It means what? It means that here is a person who is working as hard as they can, but whenever it's all over with, and they bury him, they can't put even a single extra thing in a box with him because he's totally broke.
So tell us, how do
he
we...
can't pay off. The guy can't pay what he owes.
How do we balance it out now? Now, we know we have to work to provide for our families.
You know what? There's something that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. I think this is a good time to mention it. He said, adunya sijnul mu'min wa janatul kafir. That this life that we live in is actually a prison to a believer, but it's the paradise to the unbeliever. It's the only paradise they're going to get. And Allah tells us in the Quran that you love your wealth with an unbelievable desire, a lust for your wealth. And that this is the problem that we suffer from. We love wealth so much, and this is why we compromise these original good ideas we had. We start out with these really good ideas, but then we begin to compromise them because of the wealth, and now also because of this credit machine that's working on us.
Okay, but what about for those, because we know we have to work, we have to provide, but how do we not let this interfere with our purpose in this life?
Allah tells us in the Quran that He is al-Razak, which means the one who provides your daily bread. He is your source. He is the one who takes care of you. And then if you put your full faith and trust in Him as your Razak, your provider, He is the only provider, and He is al-Wahhab, the one who is the bestower. So if you'll turn to Him and ask Him, He provides, and He'll continue to provide. And in our religion in Islam, we don't ask people to send us money so that we can propagate our religion. That's not what we're about. In fact, this is against what we believe in. Our teaching is that each one of us is responsible to share a message, not propagate, not to get people to, you know, convert or anything like that. The other thing is that we don't raise money to go out here to do this and along the way buy new cars and houses and things like this. And this is why most of the scholars of Islam, you'll find them to be very poor in monetary standard. They're not going to have these big houses. They're not going to have fancy cars. Most of them, and this is not a secret, most of them actually sleep on the floor and eat very simple. Some is eat with their hands, don't even have utensils. They want to keep it simple. No TV in their houses. Keeping it simple. Because if you'll refuse this life, if you'll refuse the temptation of what's this money and lust that goes along with it, then there's something much better for you in the next life.
Does this give somebody excuse now to just sit at home and say, you know what, God Almighty's the provider, He's providing, I'm just going to sit at home and just lounge?
You could do that. You could do it. You're going to lose a lot of weight in a hurry.
Yeah.
And they'll come and take everything away because you can't pay your bills. You have to work. There's no doubt about it. And even the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was talking about that. They were talking about somebody getting charity or raising their hand and asking for money. He said it's better for them to go out into the woods and cut down the wood and bring the logs in and sell firewood, and that would be a lot better for them. So if you don't have anything else to do, go out in the woods, cut firewood, or go out and mow somebody's grass. You say that's a menial task. Well, according to who? If you do something that the best you can do it, then that's not a menial task anymore, is it? You go out and when you mow the lawn, you mow it straight and good and clean up the edge around it and do your best. And you say, well, that's not a high-paying job. That's not having a high status. With who? With who? With Allah, you did a good thing. You have a big credit with Him. And whoever you mowed the lawn for, they'll pay you something. You say, well, I have a degree. I have a degree in sociology. I have a degree in engineering. I have 3 degrees, 4 degrees. I got a news for you. You can go to any pharmacy on this planet, any drugstore you want to go to, and buy all the degrees you need. It's called a thermometer. It's loaded with degrees. And it won't help you any more than your degrees when you're out of work. You're out of work, get a job. That's it.
What advice do you have to those who are chasing a position, a status, a degree, chasing the power all so they can acquire this money and they're forgetting about their main purpose in this life?
The main purpose of this life is not to acquire wealth, position, power, status, or celebrityship. You know what it's about? Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He's telling us clearly that this purpose that we have is to worship Him without partners. And it's up to Him where we're at. Whether He puts us at the lowest rank in the human terms, or the highest rank in human terms, still in front of him, he's going to be looking at our hearts, and that's the rank that's going to make the difference. You want to go to paradise? You want to be in a good place? Then what you need to do is get the heart right. Because when the heart is right, God-fearing, righteous person, then they're definitely going to be the ones who Allah is going to favor them in the next life. You're going to be tested. You're going to have a lot of things happen to you. So you have to learn how to be moderate in what you do. Don't live beyond your means. And if Allah deals you lemons, you sell lemonade. That's how it works.
Give us some advice for those brothers and sisters, those people who they have a hard time. They won't get up for the morning prayer, the Fajr. But when the boss calls them to come in and work overtime, they're making sure to get up on time.
Well, for the Muslims who do things like this, I understand where they're coming from, but you can't do that. Because you're showing right away the law that you don't trust him. You don't believe in him. So he's ordered you to pray in the morning. So instead, you'll run out here. Maybe somebody offer you more money to come to work early in the morning. And you say, okay, I'll go do that. I'll get an extra $100. I'll get up early and go to work. But you didn't pray. You didn't pray. You went out to work early and you want the money. And it means you don't really believe that Allah is the one taking care of you. And this is not a good thing. You need to get up and you need to pray. You need to do your salah. You need to do it in time. And you need to do it in the group together if you can, because that's even better. And all of that's going to be better for you than anything. Listen to this teaching of Islam. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, Rakatain Fajr. خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. And this means that the two rakahs of the Fajr prayer in the morning is worth more to you than the universe and everything in it. The universe. Now what if somebody said you can have two universes today, huh? For spending 5 minutes in the morning. Two universes. What would you say?
I mean,
you're out here working real hard for $1,000 thinking, oh yeah. Or somebody working for $10,000, they said, yes, this is what I need. But where are you going to be tomorrow when you find out inflation made it so that a loaf of bread costs $4,000? No, there's no benefit. So the first and foremost thing is to realize that there is a law. He's your provider. He's the one who is going to take care of you. And this, if we can get this in our head, then we're going to be ahead of the game. But until we do that, we're going to be looking at a piece of paper and thinking, that's money. And it's still nothing but a piece of paper.
Thank you again for being with us, Sheikh.
Of course. Do I get to take the paper?
I'd like to thank you all for tuning in again to the Dean Show. And please, don't make this your God. Pray to the one true God, alone without no partners. And tune in every week to the Dean Show. And if you missed this show, you can see it on thedeenshow.com, the T-H-E-D-E-E-N show, S-H-O-W, thedeenshow.com. And you can view all of our shows there. Until then, until next time, we'll see you. God willing, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.